Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey everybody, it's Angela Orkin. We certainly hope you're all settling in as best you can to this new normal and that you're finding ways to serve your clients in the best way that you can. We're releasing an episode today that was recorded before the murder of George Floyd and before all of the critically important discussions around systemic racism that are happening today. John Jim and I are working now to put together an episode to talk about what you as a children's attorney can do about systemic racism, but we didn't want to release something just to get it out there in a hurry. So just know that this issue is at the forefront of our minds and that we're working on bringing you something consistent with our message that you can use in your daily practice. Thank you for listening and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hey everybody, this is Angela and I'm here with John and Jim. And today we're going to do something a bit lighter. I know our last episode was a little bit heavy, so we hope you enjoy this conversation about things that we like to watch, read, and a little bit of life tips. So we're going to start out with our favorite movie, and I'm going to start with John.
Yeah, boy, you know, we're all, what now, almost heading towards month three of being locked down, and we've watched everything. If you're like me, you're really desperate at night. You sit down and you can't find anything, right? I mean, I don't know how you guys are doing. I won't watch Tiger King.
Oh, I did. I have to admit it.
No, I can't do it. I live in Florida. I can't. I live with those people.
Having grown up in Florida, it was very relatable.
Other than Tiger King, I've watched almost everything and some things multiple times. But if you want to talk about our field and what's good to watch, here's something that I found that really resonated with me. It was The Florida Project. It's on Netflix now. You may remember Willem Dafoe was nominated for an Oscar for supporting actor last year, I think, or 2 years ago when it came out. I like this film because it really showcases the families we serve and the children we serve. And it's a girl who can't go to, doesn't have that Disney World life, doesn't have that normal childhood, but she still has this fantastic childhood. But then what happens like when the childhood maybe starts to not be safe? It makes you really challenge the question of removal. It makes you look at poverty. You live with the characters for the full movie. The director did a great job, Sean Baker, and I recommend it. I think it really resonated with me and helped me get more in touch and have a little more empathy for the families we serve.
Really focuses on the lives of our clients prior to removal. And in doing that, it really highlights the emotional impact of removal.
I like watching anything where you feel like you're gaining a better understanding of the families we serve, because sometimes you think you know, but then something like this comes along and it really alters your perceptions and understanding. Jim, what about you?
Okay, mine's a little different. It's also on Netflix. It's a series called Unbelievable, and it's really more of a police show, really. It's a little bit of a hard watch because it's about sexual assault. But the through line is the first victim, who happens to be a girl who has just recently aged out of foster care, and she's living in an independent living arrangement like so many of us deal with. But it really captures her isolation. It really captures, both from an emotional and just a practical standpoint, how alone these kids are. And even with all my years dealing with these kids, you know, running out at midnight to help them or ordering pizzas, you know, I've got a lot of experience dealing with these kids post 18. It still hit me in a place that I had not been hit before, as far as really empathizing with how alone these kids are and how important setting up some kind of community for them, even of peers or something, or workplace or something like that, is so important. But I was shocked watching it that that's what I took away from it. Besides that, it's like an acting clinic by the three lead actresses who were all nominated. It's a great, entertaining watch, and you can't wait for the next episode. But it's also takes away a little. We can take away something from our work from that.
And that's on Netflix, right?
That's on Netflix. Unbelievable, yeah. That's, I think, 6 episodes, maybe okay. 8.
Yeah. Okay. And what about you, Angela? What have you been watching? Yeah.
Well, we promise this is not a Netflix ad, but mine is also on Netflix in a series, which is The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez. I know a lot of people in our field probably have watched it. But if you haven't, I think my takeaway was it was not so much that his story is incredibly common in our work. I think what really hit me was the number of times he could have been saved and the number of professionals that came into contact with him that could have stopped the train and led to his death. And it just reminded me the importance of always, you know, trust but verify, always take that extra step and make sure that if you haven't seen the child, hopefully you have, that someone else has. And it also, it just, there's a lot that goes into understanding the perpetrators, the mother and the boyfriend in the show that I think is just, again, a hard watch in that sense. But I did feel like I had a greater understanding of this type of case. And it certainly kind of gets your antenna up to make sure that you don't have one of those come through and you were one of the professionals that missed it as well.
That's what's, I think that you're right. You hit the nail on the head. That's the value of it, right? Is we deal, because we're in this work, we do it all the time and we see these families, but you have to constantly be on your guard and on watch for, is this the type of family? Is this a child that really could get seriously hurt? This is the case, right? I mean, this is the type of film that people think of when you're at a party and they ask you what you do and you say, oh, I'm an attorney for foster kids, or I work in child welfare, and it's a conversation killer. It's because this is the image, right, that pops in your mind. It's that type of case that it's the one that makes the headlines.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to run your practice, you know, through that lens where you think every kid could be in that situation, but you also, I just think it's very important not to let your guard down. So, how about reading, Johnny, anything that you would recommend on that front?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend The Language of Flowers by Vanessa Diffenbaugh for sort of the same reasons that Jim recommended that Netflix series, because it is written by a former foster mom, and it tells the story of a girl aging out of foster care. And I really like the job she did capturing what that feels like. And I really like the job she did with her main character and making you get inside her shoes and what's it like to prefer homelessness to connection, because you are afraid of connection or you don't know how to connect, or all you've ever suffered is rejection. So she did a great job with it. And like Jim said, I mean, if you don't want to do a police procedural, but you're interested in this type of a story, then The Language of Flowers might be more up your alley. And I think it's a bestseller, but anyway, I would recommend that, because again, you read it and then you definitely have a different perspective on your older clients who are aging out, and you have a different perspective on your younger clients, because I walked away from the book going, wow, I really want to make sure my younger clients don't age out of foster care one day. I really want to help them be successful in families. It's really important.
Yeah. What about you, Jim?
I was going to recommend To the End of June by Chris Beam. It's just a really good look at the system. Now, it came out in like 2014, I think, around then. And it's a really good look at the system, interviews from top to bottom. It will feel like your own life. It's just a searing look at a system in need of reform. Not a hopeless look, not an overly hopeful look, but definitely there's some takeaway that there's a lot of good people in the system working. And as you read it, it'll feel somewhat biographical of your own work life, but also it made us think about the need for connection in our professional community. Because you'll see the similarities to your own life in what the people the author interviews are going through.
Yeah, I haven't read that one yet either. I need to read that one. So the book that I wanted to recommend is actually not about our field, and it's Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. I have kind of been following him for a while. I saw his TED Talk that was really spectacular. But when I read his book, what it really did for me was, you know, I think trying to effect broad change in our system can seem overwhelming, like turning a battleship, or even in your own circuit or county. To make it really different, you have to have a lot of courage. And what I came away from with that book is that the power that a lawyer can have when you're really driven and you have a lot of courage and you're willing to step up. And so I found it very inspiring. The movie itself was good, but I think the book to me was much, much more powerful. And I think it, even though it's about death penalty cases, it does just kind of remind you why you do the work and how important it is. And it's also just a really easy book to get through. So I highly recommend that one. Well, hopefully we came up with a few things that you haven't already read and seen. And maybe you can pick from one of those and let us know what you think. One other thing that we thought might be interesting to talk about today is that the three of us all have been in this field for a while. And one of our goals with this podcast is for it to be a resource and to really encourage all of you to stay in the profession. But we also know that staying in the profession has many challenges. And so we thought we'd each share one thing that has kind of helped us stay in it as long as we have. And hopefully, again, one of these things will be useful to you. So Jim, you want to share yours?
Sure. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot during this pandemic and working from home about how scrambled my work and home life are getting. Like, keeping them compartmentalized has been extremely difficult. You'll be, you know, walking the dog at 10 in the morning and texting with clients at 10 at night, or email, catching up on emails at 10 o'clock at night.
I love that, because I was in court yesterday and like the state attorney judge asked the state attorney a question and she was like, you know, internet problems. And she's like, I'm sorry, judge, I'm driving and I have my child in the car. I'm like, but this is a 3 o'clock court hearing. Why are you driving with your child in the car and where are you going? There's no place to go. So like people just go, well, I know, I'll go get ice cream and I'll do court on the way. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, let's just juggle it because we can. No, I know. My cat popped in on court the other day. I don't know if anyone saw it. So, you know, you're trying to maintain a balance, but also maintain some separation. And it got me thinking, even when things are normal again, or before when things were normal, it's very important that we in this field keep our energy separate from the energy of what we do and the energy of the people we help. You don't help people by suffering with them and sharing their suffering. So it's very important that we maintain our own energy, maintain our own strength and our own healthy lives, separate apart from a lot of the dysfunction we see in the world every single day. And you got to be careful. You think you're not bringing it home with you, but you really got to do some practices like meditation or exercise or something, walking, something that can make sure that you have a different vibration at home than you do when you are, you know, trying to get addicts to see that they have a problem for an hour and a half on a Wednesday morning. So that's kind of the tip that I would have for folks. And it's one I have for myself coming out of this whole thing.
Well, it's an excellent one, because my odd story of getting to child welfare started at being a corporate lawyer, because I knew that I was so empathetic that I was just like, I don't want to do anything related to any sort of family law. So I went into corporate and then ended up taking a pro bono case, which brought me right into the most heart-wrenching work that you can do. So I think a lot of us, you know, we're naturally drawn to the work because we're empathetic. But I really like your point about how that does not help our clients to take on the suffering. What we have to figure out a way to kind of, you know, keep it separate enough that and keep yourself healthy and have a happy life outside of work and then come in strong. And I think that's an excellent point. John, what about you?
This is a tough one, because I've been in the profession a long time, and it is, like I said earlier, right? It's a conversation killer at parties, which of course makes you self-examine and go, wow, why is what I do like a conversation killer? Like, even like if I had said like, oh, I run a funeral home, people would probably be able to chat with me about something like, oh yeah, when we buried my great grandmother, we, you know.
Well, at least you'd make a lot of money if you did that.
Exactly. But when you say you're a lawyer for kids in foster care, oh, they, first of all, they want to tell you you're a saint, which you're not. And then they want to just like grimace and go, oh, that's so sad. I don't know how you do that. And not everyone can do it. I think it does go back to what Jim was talking about. I guess I would say, you know, you get a lot of highs in this profession, high highs, you know, happy adoptions, happy reunifications, and you get some, you know, just crushing lows, right? I mean, we talked about that in the last episode. Let's not go back over that ground today. But I think what wears people out is the grind. I think that's, you know, like when I noticed, like when any of my staff have ever like said to me, I can't do this anymore, it sometimes is coincided with being in a personal place of some stress or anxiety, you know, the loss of a parent or going through something personal, which has now made it difficult for them, I think, to deal with the grind of this work. I think the tip to continuing on in this profession is to not only compartmentalize, but also to celebrate the small victories. You know, if you've taken a child from A to B, that's a victory, even though, you know, we all wanted him to get to Z, which was graduating college or getting into college, but, you know, he's not in jail. You know, like I have an independent living client who is no longer addicted to drugs and is not in jail. Has he gotten his GED yet? No, still no. You know, he's capable. But it's still a victory that he's not where he was. And it took a lot of work just to get there.
That's true. So, you know, we can do some pretty mundane things to us during the week, like you talk about small victories. You can get siblings placed together at an aunt's house, get that one out of foster care and placed with the other siblings. And to you, it's like, okay, I made some phone calls, got it done, or I filed a motion and the judge granted it. And you move on with your week and don't think about it again. But you've maybe avoided a separation that would have haunted one or more of those kids for life. Like, I have a brother. I remember my brother. And then he disappeared when I was 7 years old. You know, that's something that you've done that you should go have a drink and celebrate, or however you celebrate. And, you know, just acknowledge that you did something. You didn't just file a motion and move some paper around. You moved some people's lives around a little bit.
And this is why, right? Because of going back to what I said with the Gabriel Fernandez stories are the ones that our profession is known for, but the success stories are the Gabriel Fernandez's that you've never heard about because they had a good attorney, right? I mean, I think about the ripple effect of what we do a lot. Like, I think about, we've had all had cases of just generational abuse, generational incest, generational poverty. When you break that for a child and you give them a safe home by either helping repair the family or putting them in an adoptive home, either way, the ripple effect of that going forward on society, right? Going into future generations, that's something that will never be written about. They'll never make a Netflix series about that, about the things that didn't happen. But that's where a lot of our victories are, right? In the Gabriel Fernandez's who do not make the headlines. So I think focusing on some of that stuff and celebrating those small, imperceptible, intangible victories will keep you in the game. No one else is going to celebrate because they don't know what you've done.
Well, I'm one of those, I read tons of self-helpy stuff, just, you know, constantly looking for different ideas. And one of the ones that everybody talks about is gratitude. But I think just reflecting at the end of the week on, all right, what is different in families' lives because of what I did this week? And I think we could find a lot more than you really think about, because people just don't stop and do it. It's usually like, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that and I'm behind on this. But the truth of the matter is, throughout every day and every week, attorneys are inching things forward. And those, and like you said, the ripple effects, you know, go on. So I think taking the time to do that. My tip is more of a way of thinking. And this one is very personal to me, so I don't know if others will relate, but I am a very empathetic person and I am prone to reading about every terrible thing that happens in the world. And one of the things that I have found is that when I am working steadily on improving the lives of kids in foster care, I am able to kind of shut out a lot of the other issues because I can say, look, I can't solve everything, but I'm working over here to make the world a better place. And so I'm able to not get sucked into the vortex of all the terrible things and the headlines. And that's what keeps me moving forward and staying positive about what I'm doing. It drives my husband crazy because he'll hand me an article about something going on in the world. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not my issue.
So, no, I get that.
Yeah, he really irritates him. He's like, well, how can you not care? Like, I care about everybody everywhere, but this is what I'm working on. And that's, you know, that's how I get through.
I think that's so important and true because there are so many issues right now that I am passionate about, but I can't, like, I can't be everywhere. I can't do everything. Like every time I get an email from Save Our Beaches, I want to go down to the beach and help clean up, but I can't because, you know, my issue is kids in foster care and that's what my energy is being expended on. And someday, maybe once in a while I'll send some money or I'll, you know, if I'm on the beach, I'll pick up some crap and throw it in the garbage, but I would love to be more passionate about other issues too, but this is it. You're right. This is where I am tasked with working right now.
No, I think that's an excellent example. There are so many things that we can all be doing out in the world to make it a better place. But, you know, sometimes you have to pick your highest and best purpose, what you're best equipped to do. And all of you out there representing kids are doing that every day. And so maybe taking the pressure off to solve everything else is useful. So we hope this has given you some things to think about, maybe some things to read and watch. We appreciate you listening and would love to hear from you.
Don't watch Tiger King. Don't watch it.
Do it. In any event, we'd love to hear from you. If you have topics you want to hear about, you can reach us at info@children'slaw.org. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.